the kind you wear a tie. Button up from 9 to 5. I tried that life but said goodbye. I'm not always polite, but I get the job done. Who says that work can never be fun? I'm simply unprofessional.
Good evening, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of Simply Unprofessional. I'm your host, Webby. Join me tonight, we got Mr. David.
Hi, what's up? I'm here doing things. Woo woo. Yeah, yeah.
Devin.
Webby.
This week,
yep.
We had to watch Dave Made a Maze.
It's true.
I was a million times better feeling about this movie than I was about Life After Beth. going into just even the opening credit sequence, you know, already, a minute into the movie, already was better than the entirety of Life After Beth.
You're not wrong. You're not wrong.
So, this movie, it was something else. I'll give you that.
I've been trying to get you guys to watch this movie for a while, so I took the fact that this is technically listed as a horror film, so I was like, I'm going to take this fact to slide it in to make Webby watch the movie, because I brought it up like 8,000 times.
Well, I will say this. Having seen this movie, I know my mom listens now. I don't think she has seen this movie yet. I already talked
to
her.
She asked me. I sent her.
She's had an issue with her internet. I told her she's probably going to think that this movie is dumb, but in a humorous sort of way.
Because it kind of is dumb in a humorous way.
Yes, like, it is.
It legitimately is dumb in a humorous way.
So, essentially, Dave is the main character. Dave, yes. He's played by Nick Thune.
Yes, who's a comedian.
Yes. And he's a struggling artist, I guess.
He's like an artist, but he has a bad habit of he never finishes anything, which for an artist obviously is a bad trait.
Right. So like he'll start a song on he started playing the piano and then just stopped before the song was written. And then he did something with he was doing construction. He had something he had a power saw. I know that.
Yeah, he was building like woodworking or something. He was doing something and he just
the whole beginning part of this is it's just him picking up all these hobbies that he then just lets fall to the wayside. And he decides to from the outside. Okay, before we dive into it, from the outside looking at it, he decides to build a fort in his living room. Okay,
yeah. So
his girlfriend castle.
His girlfriend Annie is away for the weekend. She's in a business trip with her for the weekend. So while she's gone, he's doing all these projects. Like all those projects are over the course of the weekend.
Oh, that's even more fucked up.
Yeah, like it's all over the course of the weekend before the maze came to be, if I'm not mistaken.
Right.
Or at least a good chunk of them were. And we know he's jobless. We know his parents still give him money. And yeah. So while she's gone, he's just like, I've never built anything. Like, I think we all can kind of speak to, I like this movie for a lot of reasons. Like, I'm going to make this kind of deep because it kind of is a little deep. It's like, he's 30. He's just kind of lost with his life. He can't finish anything. So he's like, I'm going to become a kid and just finish this maze. Like, I'm just going to build a cardboard box maze in my living room, which ironically enough, he still didn't finish, which is part of the reasoning of this movie even happening.
Yeah. So his girlfriend, Annie, comes home sees this monstrosity of a thing, which, don't get me wrong, on the outside, it actually looked kind of cool. It had, like, vents that would, like, blow steam out, and it had, like, a fan in the back, and, like, it was a pretty cool-looking cardboard fort.
If you were a kid, it was, like, a legit cardboard fort.
Yeah.
Like, if you were a kid, it'd be dope. For an adult, it's probably, like, the size of, like, three people.
Yeah.
Which is funny. So then she comes in, she's looking for him, like, she looks at this like, what the fuck? Why is there a giant cardboard box in the living room? I think she even says that. Yeah. Why is there a giant cardboard box maze in the middle of our living room, Dave? And then she figures out Dave's inside, and he's like, I'm lost, I can't find my way out.
Yeah, and so she's dumbfounded at the concept of this.
Because looking at it, it's a big fort. Like I said, if you're a kid, if you're an adult, it's probably the size. It's 8 feet long and like 5 feet tall, or not even like 4 feet tall, maybe, because they have to crawl in. It's like maybe 3 or 4 feet tall. Like it's not. But apparently, he's like, no, it's much bigger on the inside than the outside.
Right. And he won't let her in because she says, "Well, I'll just come in there after you." And he won't let her in because he tells her that she'll get lost. And that it's too dangerous because there's too many booby traps that he created. And to have her call one of Dave's best friends, who was, I believe that was Gordon, played by Adam Bush. And so Gordon comes over. And there's, like, this interaction where it's like, well, come on out. He's like, I can't, I'm lost. It's like, well, I mean, we can always just lift it up. And then Dave was like, nah, I secured it to the floor.
Yeah, I was like, not secured to the floor. And then earlier, his girlfriend shook it.
Yeah, they shook it.
She shook it. And Dave started shaking. He's like, don't do that. And then you hear all this, like, machinery inside shaking.
It's fucking insanity.
You're on this like machinery shaking on the inside. So, he's like,
I'll have you know. So this is maybe, I don't know, 10 minutes into the movie. Okay. Already a million times better than Life After Beth. I'm just going to say that. Like I was enraptured. I was enthralled. I was like, hey, there's a cool cardboard castle here. As moving parts, you know. So eventually, they're like, well, you know, we're just going to have one other person come over. And then they have a whole house full of people.
Yeah, it turned to a party, and they had for some reason, there was a documenter, like his friend of his friends who does documentaries came.
Yep.
With his camera, and it was camera guy and his boom operator, who, funny enough, is actually listed as cameraman and boom operator.
Yep.
Those are the two people listed, like, as their role. His friend Harry. Yeah, his friend Harry is the documentor. And then you have, he comes in with a boom operator and a camera.
Yeah. And, finally, the girlfriend's like, fuck it, you know, she starts packing up a backpack, you know, a backpack, and she's like, I'm gonna go in after him. This has gone on long enough. And no sooner does she get to the front door of this maze, and then one of their other friends is like, oh, can we go inside now? Of course we can. And she's like, no. And they're like, oh, we're going inside. Everybody else goes inside this maze except for the girlfriend. The girlfriend goes last. Yeah. They all crawl inside. And it is much bigger on the inside. They can stand up. They go down they go down these hallways. They're just insanely long, and like it seemed like each room that they went into was themed in a way.
Yep.
Like there was the piano room where they had piano keys on the walls.
Mm-hmm.
There was the playing card hallway. He had just an insane amount of playing cards taped up to the wall. He had like the King of Hearts or whatever that was all pieced out. And the whole time, I mean, I like to think nobody was like, what the fuck is happening? They all were like, wow, it really is just bigger on the inside, and Dave made all this.
Yeah, like, and
they're just very accepting of it all.
Like, watching it over and over again, like, I've seen the movie, I think, like, at this point, I've seen this movie about 7 times now. Watching this movie over and over again, I really think that each room kind of symbolizes a part of Dave.
Oh, it does.
And so, yeah, for sure. Like, something he has to work through, and, like, you can look at it and be like, okay, like, for instance, like, you mentioned him playing the piano, and that room had piano keys. Like, that's one of his hobbies he didn't finish. And, you know, them getting past that room and conquering that room was kind of him getting over that. And slowly he's working through all this stuff as he goes through it.
And, like, when they went through the piano key room, they ended up in, like, it was like a mix between the trash room from Star Wars.
It was a moat. It was, like, supposed to have, I think, like, a moat. Like, the trash room, like, a moat, I believe.
And then it had, like, a giant face. The talking, like, what is it, Zordon face from
Power Rangers? That's a really weird face.
It would just periodically spit out more trash. But then there was the origami birds on the left and right hand side, because mm-hmm. Dave took up origami and ended up giving up on it.
So to run you through all the people who are in this house, by the way, jumping back. So Annie called Gordon. So his girlfriend called Gordon, who came to the same conclusion. He in turn called several of his friends over, including Leonard, Bryn, Greg, Jane, and Harry, a filmmaker, along with his boom operator and cameraman. They also randomly bring over a hobo because he apparently knows about cardboard. And two Flemish tourists.
Oh, that was the guy who, when they all went in, he went into the fridge and made a sandwich.
Yep. And two Flemish tourists that came over.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah. Leonard briefly leaves the apartment in disappointment when he learns they cannot enter. Harry tries to get a reaction out of... I'm reading this from Wikipedia, by the way. Harry tries to get a reaction out of Annie for a supposed documentary he is filming, and upon realizing how much he truly cares about Dave, the whole group, minus the hobo, all enter the maze. So they brought the hobo over. So really, this is the underdog story of the hobo. Like, he outsmarted them all. Because if they never came back, he just got a free house.
Yeah.
A free apartment. At least until they realize that everybody there is dead. So, I mean, the hobo...
Oh, man, don't even get... Okay, we're going to get on the death stuff here shortly. Because that's a whole nother fucking sack of potatoes. So, when they go through the trash room... I'm just going to call it the trash room. The moat room, whatever it was. Annie figures out the only way out of this room, because the door closed behind them and they're being attacked by an origami bird, is to crawl through the mouth of this face. So she holds it wide open, and I love how, like, the facial expressions on this mouth, because the whole time it's just like this blank, you know, blank-eyed fucking face. The mouth would open, trash would spit out, then the mouth would close. When they start all climbing through it, the eyes start going all wobbly and crooked. What was the room after that?
Let's see. Hold on. Let me see. Is that the one? Yeah. Harry and Cruz have to collect together the first hand. The surreal and supernatural nature of the maze travels from a room where they realize that it houses a living origami birds and other creatures. Leonard later returns to the apartment. Da, 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 da. Yeah. They crawl out of there, and then I think they're in, like, that, like, squarish, not, like, they're in, like, that basic room where the chick sets off the trap.
Well, I think before that, like, at this point, what's-his-face, Gordon is just, like, trying to tell people, no, hey, listen, we gotta keep track of where we're going, because this is a maze, and this is how you do mazes. And then, like, he stood somewhere, and somebody pressed a button, and, like, just this, it sucker-punched him in the nuts.
Yep.
And then the girl set off the trap. She stepped on a button. It was like a pressure plate. And she started screaming. She's like, everybody in this goddamn place, I'm the one who stepped on this. Like, no one else has set this off.
Yep. And then after that, that's when the axe came down and she got her head chopped off by the axe.
And fucking party streamers flew out of her
red
neck.
Yarn and confetti instead of blood. It was red yarn and confetti, people.
Yep. It was, and they were all covered in red yarn and confetti. They all started screaming and easily brushed it off of them because it's only red yarn and confetti.
At this point, Webby was in his house like, okay, Devin.
I was laughing. I was laughing. I was like, dude, I love this. I love everything about this. And then I don't even care if this is next. I want to talk about it. Hands down, probably my second favorite thing in this movie. Say, I'm going to call it a character because it had its own thing. I want to say it was the Flemish tourists.
Oh yeah, they're just chilling there.
No, they were hiding from each other, but like playing, like trying to find each other too.
Mm-hmm.
And they're going around like these cardboard pillars. And all of a sudden it cuts to this piece of baling twine tied across. It looks like a tripwire. And as the woman starts like walking closer, it starts giggling and shaking. And then as she like decides to turn and step away, all you hear is, aw. And then like the guy starts walking towards it and starts giggling and shaking again. And then he steps away and it goes, aw. I was like, hands down, VIP, best character in the movie was the string. I don't know why I loved it so much, but I did. And it's at this point that you start realizing that this maze, essentially, it's not just of Dave's creation. Like, it has a mind of its own.
It has a mind of its own. Yep, exactly. And then I think after that, after the axe fiasco, I think we cut over to Greg and Bryn. And they're in like the catacombs, like area spot, I believe.
Well, the Flemish tourist guy does bite it because he does end up stepping on this string and he gets impaled by what look like toilet paper tubes.
Exactly.
And then his girlfriend goes out screaming and runs into Annie and all them.
Yep. And then they go back to get Greg's body and his body's gone. What else happens after that?
I think right around then, don't they end up running into Dave?
They run into Dave's right around there, or no?
And then we find out Dave hurt his hand.
They find out about the Minotaur first. Because remember, the Minotaur left like the paint can tracks, and they're like, it's clearly a Minotaur.
I thought Dave was with him by that point.
I don't think he was.
Because he was with them when they went into like the paper bag world. Like while they were being chased by the Minotaur.
No, that happens after that. Because then, you know, the Minotaur, they meet up with the Minotaur. Yeah, Gordon deduced that the Minotaur took his body away. Annie used the box cutter to cut through the wall. And that's when she realizes the maze is alive. And as they jump through the wall, the Minotaur then kills Bryn. And then the group runs into Dave after that.
Okay.
So she takes a box cutter and cuts through the wall and jumps through it. And then Bryn's the last one. And the Minotaur grabs him before that's the case. If I'm not mistaken, does the Minotaur like football tackle him?
Yeah, he was really fast. Yes.
He just like football tackles him. Yeah. I remember like he's trying to like crawl through it. And football tackle. You know who the Minotaur is?
No.
John Morrison. The wrestler.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's John Morrison.
Oh, man. Oh, man, yep. I did not realize that.
It's John Morrison.
I mean, we never see his face because he wears that cool-ass Minotaur, cardboard Minotaur helmet.
Yeah, I know. It's John Morrison.
Nice.
As funny as it is.
So they meet up with Dave, and then we find out earlier that Dave hurt his hand.
He stuck his hand into a cardboard vagina.
Listen, we don't find that part out yet. You're not wrong, but we don't find that part out yet. Anyway, they find Dave, and his whole entire fucking hand is cardboard.
Yeah, well, it has a black glove on first. You're wearing like this giant, like black, like glove.
Yeah,
is it black or is it like a yellow glove?
No, it's like black.
It's like a black brown glove. He's wearing this glove.
But I mean, his hand is functional; like he can still use it.
Yeah, it works.
It's just now cardboard.
Yep. So the group runs into Dave. Who then leads them out of the area being chased by the Minotaur.
Oh, yeah. Then we come up to one of my favorite fucking rooms.
That's the one where they're walking through and they all turn to cardboard, right?
they all turn into brown paper bags.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like
yeah,
the brown
yeah,
paper that, bag yeah, puppets that you used to make at school.
Yep, yep, yep.
And then they're like slowly doing like it's a side scrolling thing. And then even the Minotaur comes out as like a puppet. And then they're like, huh. And then it comes down and it stands back up and it's like the actual Minotaur. So they all start running. And then they're like, quick, down that hole or into that pipe or whatever. And I was like, okay, let's see how they're going to do this without showing their hands. And all of a sudden, it's just like you see these brown paper bag people getting thrown into this pipe. And I was like, well, A plus for effort. Then they go into like the abstract art room where it's like, it looks like a room that's set up, but then everything is like, it's one of those optical illusions where it's like, oh, this cup that looks like it's small and sitting on the table is actually a really large cup in the background, but this chair that looks like it was at that table is actually a really small chair in the foreground. It really threw me off, that whole room.
Yep.
I was like, yep. I don't like that room. I didn't like it. I don't like thinking about stuff like that.
Yep. So yeah, that happens. Yeah, and then Dave is explaining that, you know, he doesn't know how the room came to be, but he knows that it's, you know, he knows that it's growing and it's connected to his own imagination. And then he's like, you know, you guys got to help me finish the maze so we can escape. Even though he's like, I'm really not sure how, but right. I know that's how we got to get out. You guys got to help me. And then that's when they're at the wall, right around that part, I think. The wall with, they're at the vagina wall.
Well, they go to the wall that has like the black and white movie being played.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then on the way there, black and white.
Yeah, and then on the way there, everybody starts getting distracted by the vagina wall as they're running through that. They're still being chased by the Minotaur, so they're moving, and people keep getting stopped by that. And it's like, no, don't go that way, don't go that way.
Yeah, yeah, because every time they come through the door or whatever, that person was like, oh. Then they just like stare off down this hallway, and then they have to get snapped out of it by the next person who just got stopped. And then, that's when we find out Dave,
like, why not? And he rips his hand off. He's like, cause I went down there once.
Yeah. That's when we find out Dave fisted the cardboard vagina wall.
Yep.
Turned his hand to cardboard.
It did.
And then there was the freaky wall with all of like the actual people behind it pushing on like the rubber wall or whatever. So like they're like reaching out at you. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I don't like that either. That bothered me. Where'd we go from here? Eventually we find Bryn again. I think.
Yeah, we find Bryn again, I think, at some point. Or no, Bryn. Yeah, Bryn got. He was. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I think that
we find cardboard Bryn.
Yes.
I think that was Bryn, right?
Yeah, that was. That was when she was sitting.
She's like, oh, high five, right? That was her.
Yeah, that's when she's like sitting there, like she's like a puppet.
Yeah.
And then she's trying to get them to come over, like, hey, come on, come talk with me, hang out for a while. Like, yeah, she's like a distraction.
High five. That's it. Kept wanting a high five.
Yep.
I mean, would you have high-fived her?
No.
I probably would have.
So, she probably would change to cardboard.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, so, during that, it was during this time, right before that, Dave realized he needed to attack the maze at its heart, but he neglected to make the heart of the maze.
Right.
So, they have to work on that, creating the heart of the maze, and then get to the heart of the maze to do it. Then that happens. That's when they run to Bryn asking for high fives. They realize the trap in Gordon, Harry, and the crew. They just keep on going. Oh no, they keep her distracted by interviewing her. While Dave and Annie go off to go make the heart so they can destroy it.
Yeah, and then they have she has some like fucked up like voiceover stuff where she spews like this evil prophecy sounding shit.
Yep. Like exorcists and shit. Yep.
Mm-hmm. And then immediately goes back to high five. That chick.
Yep.
Oh, I want to say real quick. We probably missed this part already. One of the ways they lost the Minotaur because they're perpetually being chased by this Minotaur the whole movie. One of the ways they eluded the Minotaur through one of the doors, they hung up a blanket and it made it look like a wall. Just wanted to point that out. If you're ever in a cardboard maze and you're being chased, just hang up a blanket. Then it becomes a wall and the Minotaur can't go through it.
You figure it out at some point.
Well,
I think it fell down, didn't it? Or something like that.
Well,
like
it started it to, down. And then his buddy, that's where I thought his buddy fucking Gordon was going to bite it. I was like, oh man, Gordon's going to die right here because the blanket started falling down and he walked over and he taped it back up. But then the wall started like coming out at him. And then he was stuck underneath the tape. Like, he had taped his own jacket to the wall. And I was just like, oh, dude, this Minotaur is going to, like, fucking grab him and yank him through. And then finally the camera or the boom operator guy came over and helped him fucking sort it all, put it all back where it was. And then they left.
Boom guy's the hero.
He really was.
Yeah, so what they did was, so then Dave and Annie went off to go make the heart. It wind up being a zoetrope. First they have like their heart-to-heart moment. They're sitting in like a thing having like their heart-to-heart moment talking about like, you know, where their relationship's going wrong, where everything kind of is going wrong in their life kind of thing. And they're kind of having their moment. A zoetrope is, it's one of those pre-animation like things that you get, around in the light inside and it like projects
an
image. One of those. So they make that. And then they cut through the wall and to go.
So yeah, their heart to heart that they had, that was like those three really fucked up weird scenes of them sitting at the table talking. Essentially.
Yeah, like they had really
the same conversation in like three different tones.
Yep.
And three different styles.
Yep.
Yeah, it was really weird. I didn't like that either. I wanted more Minotaur and string. See how easily amused I am, Devin? If you throw a Minotaur and a piece of baling twine that giggles in a movie, I'm going to love the movie. That's all I need. A-plus character, baling twine that laughs.
Yeah, so when they cut through the wall to go put the heart in the center, the fake Bryn freaks out. And then she starts trying to leave and chase after them. Then the crew catches up to her and tries to stop her. But then she pulls out like this fucking like giant hand.
Well, they throw a noose around her neck.
Yeah, to stop her from going. They grab a noose
from
like around and throw it. Like they have like a paper noose and throw it at her and like capture her and like they're dragging her back to stop her from going. And then she pulls this basically like this demon hand out. And after a minute it runs away, but it winds up dragging the cameraman with it.
Yeah.
And they try to save the cameraman, but he's just like, it's too late. And he tosses the tapes.
Yeah.
He tosses the tapes like, you know, he did his job.
Yeah. And his only words that entire movie was an inside joke that had been told during the movie scene where they're watching the movie on the wall. And it was, you fuck my wife. And then he fall. And then he gets pulled down the hole. That was his only line in the movie.
Yep.
And then they all run. And then, so the heart is going, they finished. So that's essentially them finishing Dave, finish the maze.
Oh yep. Well, during them running, Gordon distracts the Minotaur. That's when the part that happened when you were talking about. Gordon distracted the Minotaur. Distracted the Minotaur.
Best way to distract the Minotaur.
He passes Leonard, who was killed by cardboard saw blades.
Dude, that death took forever.
It did.
He like literally like I don't remember exactly when that one started, but like it was him going, and having, like, red ribbons flying up, and then, like, they'd cut away, and then periodically they'd go back to him, and it'd be, like, him still there getting sawed to death.
Yep.
But, yeah, when Gordon went to go distract the Minotaur, best way to distract the Minotaur ever, he was like, oh, what's over there? The exit? Freedom? I think I'll go this way. And then he walks down the hallway and the Minotaur just follows. Ah, it was the best.
Sounds legit.
Minotaurs are dumb.
And you love them.
I do. I also love Laughing String. Oh, that really tells you a lot about me, huh?
There's nothing wrong with that.
All right, so continue on. He ends up distracting this Minotaur.
Yep, he ends up distracting the Minotaur.
They all end up in the center of the maze.
Yep. Let me see. Dave, Annie, Harry, and the boom operator set up the heart and using a katana. I don't know where they got the katana from. Or was Dave carrying the katana the whole time?
Oh, it was an impulse buy. I remember that part.
Yep.
She's like, impulse buy, and he's like, they had it near the register.
Who keeps katana near the register? I don't know.
Okay. I want to go to that store.
Yep, so he pulls out a katana and he slices the heart, causing the walls and the entire maze to fall. Everyone finds themselves back in the apartment. They clean up all the cardboard. And then, you know, Harry tells Gordon to tell all the family members of those who died.
Yeah, why that's Gordon's responsibility, who knows?
Because he's the documentor, who knows? I don't know. And asks Dave what they should call the documentary. Dave sarcastically suggests Dave made a maze, despite Gordon's belief that it was a labyrinth. As Dave and Annie toss the last of the cardboard by the dumpster, they fail to notice the Minotaur climbing out along with an origami bird.
Yep.
The Minotaur walks away, throwing up the ill hand sign.
Yep. And he still had the dope-ass Minotaur helmet.
He did.
So, not only did this movie have Minotaur, laughing baling twine, or giggling string. Jesus.
It had Jesus.
Sorry for the background noise there for a moment. But the Minotaur survived. And that makes it even better.
Maybe he's all for it.
I am. So that was Dave Made a Maze. That was pretty much the whole movie. And it was fantastic. Devin, you should have had me watch this sooner.
I've been trying.
Y'all, Devin, you should have had me watch this sooner.
I've been trying. You can go back and listen. Almost every time Ross is on, I recommend that movie.
So, okay, to round out our, because we always do the movie reviews like this, what would you rate this movie 1 to 10?
I would give it a solid 8.5. I really enjoy it.
Agreed. I'm going to give it probably right around, probably 8.5. It wasn't the best movie I've ever seen, but it was definitely really good.
If nothing else, you can say it is a truly unique movie.
Work. Yes, yes.
You've never seen another movie like this.
Exactly.
You never will.
I mean, I think it's pretty obvious. Would you recommend this movie to other people?
Yes, I have been for a while.
I don't know what you're talking about. But yes, I would too. If Ross hasn't seen this movie, I'm going to... If I can ever manage to get him to come over, I'm going to make him sit down and watch this movie with me. He would love this movie.
Isn't he coming over for you guys to do
our hangouts?
Yep.
Yeah, I just don't know when.
So when he comes over, then that's what you got to do.
But yeah. I don't think there's anything left for us to talk about on Dave Made a Maze. You know, this... I'm looking at the time on this, okay? We're still running short, but at least we talked about the movie and weren't stumbling to try to find things to say about it.
I will say this, though. I have a couple of different, not like a lot, but I got a little bit of trivia from the movie.
Okay.
Hold on one second. You got to pull it. I closed it down by accident, so one second. Alrighty, I have more than that, but it's on a video. I don't want to pay the whole video, so we just do this. So yeah. So ironically enough, they only had, so the movie initially utilized scrap cardboard from the American Apparel factory in LA. The producer thought they had more than enough to last the full length of the shoot. They ran out 3 weeks in. They had like an entire trailer, like an entire like actor's trailer full of cardboard. Like, oh, that's plenty. They ran out 3 weeks into the shoot. And they found that the company was no longer willing to give them cardboard. So they went dumpster diving for all the cardboard they need at Solar City, which is a recycle company. So all the cardboard they had in the trash and all the cardboard they were recycling, they went ahead and took it, and they went dumpster diving for the recycling cardboard. Well, they did not pay for any of the cardboard in the movie.
Well, I mean, that's good.
Yep. And they only had enough space for two rooms of the maze at a time. And they were often building one set while filming on the other.
Yeah, I mean, that makes sense.
So, like, while they were filming in one room, there were guys in the next room, right next to them, building the next room.
With cardboard and tape.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a miracle that you never heard, like, there's, like, that tape ripping sound as they were doing it. Just like,
right. Hi. Now, okay, forgive me if you already said this. What was the budget of this film?
Hold on, Dave made a maze budget.
And how much did it make?
Well, this movie only made, like, on second, okay, second, this movie only made 34.
I'm guessing it never actually got released in theaters.
It was a super indie movie, but it made 34,000. I think it got released in some places, like for like one night or whatever. But it only
made 34,000.
Yeah, but it's never really been in. It was never technically at the domestic box office.
Oh,
like so, it was released for one night, limited. By the movie studio on August 18th, 2017. So 2 years ago, almost on the dot, actually, by about month and a half, 2 years ago, it was released. And for a budget, I do not have, let me see. Yeah, no, I don't have the full budget of it. I'm imagining it's super cheap. Like, most of the people in this movie are his friends.
Right.
I would imagine it's super cheap. And I will say this. This is, if nothing else, this movie shows you that you can make a... Okay, yeah. So, it was in theaters for 3 weeks across 17 theaters. So, it averaged about $1,000 per theater. So, yeah, it had 34,000 total domestic. So, I mean, not the worst movie ever, considering how the short time it was in there. But, yeah.
Wow.
Let me look. Yeah, I don't have the budget for it. I would imagine the budget was probably under somewhere in the ballpark of, I would probably say, for, like, not including, like, paying his friends or whatever. If he did pay his friends, I would imagine, like, arguably, probably, because they paid nothing for the set. Almost nothing for the set. Outside of, like, smoke machines and lighting, that's it. I'd say probably in the ballpark of, like, maybe, like, mid 4,000 or 5,000. You know? Like, nothing. Like, they filmed this movie over, I think, 30 days. Huh. And they literally just would, like, build a set and film everything they need to film in that room on one day, and then film the other set. And do everything else they needed to do, and then just kind of just do it that way. So, yeah, I mean, that's what I would say. I mean, I have no definitive proof on how much they actually spent on this movie, but I would say is not much.
Yeah, I'm trying to see. I can't find pretty much anything on the cost of this movie.
Yeah, I looked. There's really nothing you can find. Like, I didn't see anything.
One of the quotes from one of the people in the movie was, "Every day on set, anywhere you looked, there was somebody with a box cutter and a glue gun just going to town."
I would imagine.
I'm trying to see. Let's see. Producer John Charles Mayer. The puppets were all intact. Thankfully, no puppets were harmed during the making of this movie, except the Minotaur. Yeah, no, I don't know. No one really... Oh, in a Q&A at a convention, an audience member asked, what was the film's budget? To which producer John Charles Mayer replied, we don't answer that question. So,
there you go.
Then he says, I'll tell you what, you tell me what the budget is, and judging by my laughter, you'll figure it out retroactively. All right.
So I'm guessing it was either probably insanely low.
Yeah, probably.
Like insanely low.
Again, this to me is more, it strikes me as more of a, like a creative project that like these people wanted to put out as opposed to something that they wanted to really rake in the dough with.
The guy who played Dave worked on the set of a reality TV show, Paris Hilton, like My New Best Friend or whatever.
Okay.
And he said reality TV drove him insane. And during his time there, he wrote what would become this script. It was originally called Death Maze. And it was going to be totally different. And then somebody brought up the idea of something about his childhood and making like cardboard boxes, you know, making box forts as a kid. And he kind of like made the connection in his head and redid the whole script. And then him and his friends sat down and finished writing it.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Well, hot damn. I mean, I don't know. I liked it, especially for what it was.
I've never seen anyone that really hated this movie. Like, I've never met anyone that's actually hated this movie. So, I'll say that. Although your mom did yell at me, she was like, you guys picked really unscary horror movies. I'm like, look, I love horror movies. Like, I rarely find horror movies that are good enough to, like, actually scare me. Like, I love horror movies 100%. Webby, on the other hand, does not. He's not a horror movie guy. So I'm not going to torture him with horror movies back to back to back to back to back. Like, if people say, well, it's October, that's the time for that. I'm like, nah, I mean, we can still watch horror movies without being like...
Well, I mean... To be fair, the first couple of years that we did this and we decided to do these movie reviews and stuff, I went through and I sat down and I watched all of the horror movies and whatnot.
Well, I mean, the first year we did this, we did the...
We did the originals,
which, I mean, know, those...
Freddy Krueger, Jason...
Those are... The thing is, those movies are so classic now, they're really not that scary.
Yeah. I mean, I still didn't care for watching for the Nightmare on Elm Street one, but...
I mean, yeah, I mean, Freddy is kind of creepy in general, but I mean, it is what it is. Like, I wouldn't call him creepy. Like, anymore. Like, you know what I mean? Like, yeah. I wouldn't call those movies scary anymore because they're so ingrained, if that makes sense.
Right.
Like, they're so very much
pop-cultured.
Yeah, like, they're so, exactly, they're so, like, pop-cultured.
Yeah, I mean, I get it. I mean, next week's movie that we're going to be reviewing is Dead Silence. That was one that Rob Edquist had picked and added to our list. And, I know nothing about this movie either.
Neither do I. I know nothing. He looks like, Slappy from fucking, what you call it? I think his name was Slappy from fucking, Oh, it's a James Wan horror movie. Okay, it should be all right then. I mean, he's not my favorite horror director, but all right.
don't know who that is.
James Wan. He's the guy that directed the new, I'll tell you all the stuff he's directed. He's done, he did Aquaman. He did The Conjuring 2013. He did the original Saw, Insidious. He's a horror guy. He's a horror guy. So, like, give you an idea.
Well, his movies, have you not seen? You have not seen this movie, then, right?
I have not seen this movie. No.
It was pitched to the SU chat via Anthony before I had joined this evening about us potentially getting on a call together, either a Discord call or whatever, having our webcams so we can see each other's reactions and watching a movie together. I'm willing to do that with this movie.
Yeah, I'm on the. I'm willing to
because I'm gonna have to this movie. I'm gonna have to watch at my computer anyway.
Yeah.
So I'm more than willing to hop on a Discord. I don't have to
watch it at my computer, but I can watch it at my computer.
Yeah.
That
way you can see me on all the jump scares, fucking jumping up out of my chair and just fucking face palming and shaking my head the whole goddamn time. So that's what I do in horror movies. I mean, I'll avert my eyes. I'll cover my face. I'll start like shaking my head like this is bullshit. Like I'll get angry about it. So it's
bullshit. I mean, I was super angry about Bedeviled.
Yeah, but you were angry about Bedeviled for a different reason. That
pissed me off of Bedeviled. I was like, this dumb bitch. Like, who the fuck? Why are there just toys in your fucking kitchen you're gonna trip on? The toys are moving by themselves in your kitchen and you're like looking around like, hello? Bitch, get the fuck out the house. Like, what are you doing? Yeah. Like, clearly something is wrong.
So maybe that's what we'll do this weekend. Me and you will put aside a couple hours and we'll get on a call together and we'll watch this movie.
I'm totally down with that. I'm not doing anything this weekend, I don't think, so it's fine. It's fine.
And then if we happen to record the video as well, then possibly, because I do know that these SU episodes do get released on YouTube every week, perhaps I can send John the file and he can release it on our YouTube channel as a video of us watching this movie.
I mean, it's possibly up.
If not, then fuck it, I don't care, but at least then I can sit there and be like, Devin, get me out of this movie. Shut this movie off. I can't watch anymore.
I don't blame you.
So, all right. Well, hey, we're rounding up about 50 minutes here, so I think that's a good stopping point for this week. We can't really talk much more about Dave Made a Maze. You should go see it. It's a great movie. You'll finally understand. If you do watch it, you'll understand why I feel like the Baling Twine is my favorite character. So,
since you're ending the show.
Oh, shit.
Edquist, Ace Reporter, reporting in today about a very important thing that happened. Webby sent me a pun.
Oh, fuck off. Phone. Listen. Listen. Shut up. Get out of here.
What was up with that? Like, listen, shut up. Like,
shut
what was
up. Shut what up. Was shut up by your mouth. It was told to me. I hated it when I heard it, but at the same time, I immediately thought Edquist would like this, so I sent it to Edquist, and he got it right off the bat, just like I did, and he's like, you just made a pun, and I was like, I fucking hate myself. So, yeah, Devin, I will share this with you. Okay?
Okay.
So, it was sent to me. Okay. Samantha, I hate you. Don't send me any more puns. So, Devin.
Yep.
Circumference of a pumpkin divided by the diameter of a pumpkin equals what?
Circumference of a pumpkin divided by the diameter of a pumpkin?
Yep. Equals what?
I don't know.
Pumpkin pie. Yep. Now would be an awesome time for that cricket to start chirping in the background.
It really would be. If he did at that moment in time, he would have been the official. Like I would have made him a protected member of the show.
Yeah, I don't even think I'd bring myself to go kill him. It hurt my brain answering this and sharing it. So. But anyway, hey, that's it. Ace Reporter, you're fired. Devin.
Matilda does not agree with that.
I didn't fire Matilda. I just fired you.
She's still unhappy.
Well, fine. She's fired too. That's right. I heard no barking now. Devin, do we have a moment of Zen with Devin this week?
Moment of Zen with Devin. It's October, right?
Yep.
Let's do some scary quotes.
Scary quotes.
Yeah. Let's see. That's boring. That was a boring one. I never had these ready.
Like, I have a quote for you. Your mama don't dance and your daddy don't rock and roll.
I mean, okay.
There we go. That's my quote for the evening.
You know what? No, this is not scary, but I'm going to go with it because I love this movie. Austin will appreciate this. Magic is really very simple. All you've got to do is want something and then let yourself have it. Aggie Cromwell from Halloween Town. There we go.
Well, there we go. All right. And where can people find you, Devin, on the interwebs?
You guys can find me on Twitter at DMP_Pookie and on Twitch at PookieKilledMe. And as always, you can find me on eBay not listening to Webby's puns.
Thank God. And as always, you guys can find me on... Oh, man. What do we do? What's the order of things now? I am so discombobulated.
Twitter.
You guys can follow me on Twitter at JaxForSoccer. All one word.
Twitter,
on
Twitch. Instagram.
On Twitch at DMWebby. And on Instagram at Patrick.Webster52, where I post just mostly D&D or gaming-related memes and pictures that I find funny. And just choose to share. What'd you say?
I said occasionally boobs.
Occasionally boobs. And on eBay at I Hate Myself for Punning. Thank you for listening. Thank you for downloading. What am I missing here? Fuck Dan Cook again.
Yes, fuck Dan Cook.
That's going to be going on through the entire month of October. Shout out to SU's Guy Fieri, Donnie. And Austin, because he joined him in that. And as always, fuck Booster Gold.
Fuck Booster Gold.
Hey, Quist, are you still there?
I am.
You're fired.
No. Listen.
I thought you were
just because I told everyone you fun. That was a scoop ahead.
That was not breaking news.
It was.
You know what? You're fired, but Matilda can get a promotion. I'm sure she'll be happy.